basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
Good morning. Hey, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. We're going to be in 2 Timothy, and we're going to start 2 Timothy today. You've listened to this intro to Sunday Morning Live. What we do every year is we put this on the altar. So for those of you listening to Bible Radio online, we'd ask you to email us. Go to our website. You can already get there. And let us know if we're being effective. It's not we don't ever ask for money. This is a gift from Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. But we want to make sure we're being effective. And so please, you'll be hearing these announcements for the next few weeks. Usually in our December or January board meeting, we make a decision if we're just going to continue on with Bible Radio. So we put everything like that on the altar every year. We just don't do program's sake. And so we just want to make sure that where God is leading and He's guiding. And so far He has for these last, 6 years now. It'll be 6 years. We'll go on with that. So let us know. And as well for you here as the congregation, let us know if we're being effective as well with Bible Radio. Hey, turn with me to 2 Timothy and realize this Thursday, we're back on Thursday nights here in the building. It's not church in the parka. So we're here back in the buildings on Thursdays, and we have a guest speaker, Oliver Sims, this Thursday, October 3rd, and he'll be teaching on the feasts. He's from Chosen People Ministries, and he's from merry old England, jolly England, however, but he's supposed to be bringing me something because he's coming from the UK. So hopefully he brings that and remembers that, or you guys will throw him out, but in a loving Christian way. So that'll be Thursday, October 3rd. Hey, text this link to Bible Radio so people can listen in as well. But turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. And we just thank you, Lord, that you just be Lord and lifted up, that we leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than when we came here this morning. And we just give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, tried something last week, and I absolutely did not like it. All right, and so I'm going to rant a little bit here. Coming back from Israel and Jordan, again, my apologies to anyone who's been before with us to Israel. I'm sorry, but this really was the best tour ever. Amen. 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 And so it really was. And so I would encourage you to go with Pastor Seth October 4th through the 17th of 2021. He'll be leading the next one there. And so I'd encourage you to get involved with that. But had a guest speaker lined up, Eric Barger from Understanding the Times and Take a Stand Ministry was in last week for the conference. I did something. I did two things last week. I really, really didn't enjoy. One, I watched the conference. Jan Markell live streamed it, watched it, did not enjoy being there. But I was a little sick. I gave everything out on that Israel and Jordan tour. So Kimberly and I were pretty well depleted. And I know I had Eric signed up, ready to be a guest speaker. So, and I watched from home. Live stream, and then things broke down. I think you figured out whatever happened, but went to right to Bible Radio and everything. I was listening online, watching online, stuff like that. Absolutely, 100%, thoroughly did not enjoy it. All right, did not. And you got to be in contact. I love this technology. I love what we're able to do. I love that we're on YouTube and Facebook, and there's people around the world who are benefiting from Bible Radio. We have people in Ghana. There's a Bible college in Ghana where they use Bible Radio. They use our internet radio station. So you guys let me know if you're still doing that or not. But they use that as their part of their Bible training, as part of their curriculum, because of the various pastors I broadcast, going through the Bible with Pastor Chuck Smith again, and various other teachers that I have on that. And what they do is there's guys who are called to be their shepherds. But they don't have a whole lot of biblical training, but they are shepherds. And they are just like you see in the Bible, where Paul went someplace and he gave them the word of God, and he looked for those who are shepherds who are called to be that. And so what they do is they take these guys and they bring them to this Bible college for a year in Ghana, in that part of Africa. And in a year, they need to outline every book of the Bible. And I talked to the Bible college leader there, Donnie and Pacquin, and he told me a few years ago, he says, yeah, we've been using Bible Radio because the mobile devices, only in North America are your mobile devices limited to what they can do. In Africa, they're listening to our radio station on an LG 4500 flip phone. The technology, you're like, well, I didn't know they could do that. If you can get an audio, a video, or a picture text message, that they unlock that. I don't know how it works, but it does. And they're listening. We have the underground church in China who folks were getting contacts back from them. We still want to know if you and I, if Calvary Chapel St. Paul are being effective. Now, praise God that those folks are able to get the Word of God, but there's something that they're missing. And they, every one of them have encouraged, have said back and says, I would love to get together with other believers. I'd love to get together with and fellowship and to be able to do what the Bible says. We can get all the Bible knowledge we want. It is plentiful there on the internet. But you got to be able to apply it. Here, I'd give you this. Go to this website, www.removed.social. I'm not going to show you this guy's pictures. I got a video coming, so hopefully they got some audio hooked up. But here's this thing that about, he just took photos, this photographer took photos, and he washed out all the mobile devices. And just amazing the what people see. And what they look like and what we look like if you don't have a phone in front of us and whatever. And how often do you go into a restaurant and you see everybody sitting around a table and they've all got their mobile devices on and they're trying to get information. There's social media is killing the body of Christ. Social media, and again, been ranting and raving about this. I've seen it all along. I've never allowed electronics. I've home educated all my kids. Never allowed electronics. They want to get PlayStations and stuff. And I go, you've got friends for that, right? Go to their homes, but they're not going to be here. I chose to home educate. My wife and I chose to home educate our kids because I know we only have so much time. If you think you have your kid till they're 18 years old, you really don't. You have them till about they're 16 till they get their driver's license. I wanted to spend as much time as I can with my kids. And that's why we home educated. So we never allowed electronics. Some of you have seen, I get another set of my grandkids again, and my kids hand me their tablets. They hand me all their electronics. And I said, thank you very much. And we put them in the closet and they never see them again until they're back with mom and dad. I'm the show. All right. They're like, hey, make sure the kids go down at a certain time for naps. I have never given my kids naps and I've never given my grandkids naps. They can't keep up with me. They just pass out. I text them pictures back to my kids. Here they are. Hey, there's nap time. You kids can't keep up with me. I said, I just got this thing that I just grew up with. When you're hungry, you'll eat. When you got to go to the bathroom, well, you go. If you're tired, you sleep. And if you prolong any of that, God has designed our bodies in such a way that you'll go to the bathroom whether you like it or not. And you will go to sleep whether you like, hopefully not behind the wheel. We call that SOD, Sabbath on demand. Where were you? We just did that around here. What happened? Sabbath on demand. Oh, you were going and going and going and you just kind of passed out. And so here's this thing that just comes along. So there's this thing that social media that, again, I wanted to be at church. I did this. I'm just going to try it. What is the appeal of sitting at home and watching something when I can get together and hang out live and be with one another? Well, what is that whole thing? I mean, praise God that technology is there and it can be a fill-in. But I had to fight everything I can to just to be here last Sunday. I was a little bit tired, but that's okay. And I want to be here. But Here's a video for you. Just check this out. Now, there's some really great music that goes with that. And if the audio was hooked up with the sound guy and they plugged that in, all that kind of stuff. There we go. So that's a little sad commentary when it comes to that. People say, well, Pastor Chick, you're on Facebook. I'm not. Calvary Chapel St. Paul is. There's a billion people on Facebook, so we do that. It's, well, you're posting pictures and videos of the tour to Israel. Yeah. And it did exactly what I wanted it to do. It upset everybody who did not go with us. I mean, there's people now going, that'd be the best tour. Where were you? And I had people coming up, I can't believe what you're doing. Taking the youth to two different volcanoes, not active, I tried, but going swimming and cliff jumping. And some of the kids, they got there, they go, well, this cliff's only 5 feet. Cliff's a cliff. I thought it was going to be 50 feet. Hey, you want to do that, you go right ahead. I got the permission slip right here. We'll put the body parts together, but we can do that. And I did exactly at this conference that we were just at in Bellevue in south of Omaha, of just people saying that I was really following you along on that social media. I wanted those pictures and those videos to do everything. I wanted to upset people that you weren't there. You weren't there and you should go and you had opportunity. And there's plenty of people who have had plenty of opportunities to go and they don't. You had to go there and you had to experience it. You had to be a part of that. And that's the whole thing. So I wasn't using social media in the sense of like, we have a better life than you. That's why, I don't know, did anyone follow along? I mean, was a few of you following along? Do you like that one video when I got all the youth jumping off the cliff there? What did my caption come through? For all you young ones who say NYG, that's not our youth group, not youth group, that you think we're boring. And so like, this video should prove it's not us. It's you. You're the boring ones. I sent videos to my kids as we're going up a ski lift chair up to the top of Mount Hermon, and I'm videoing my kids, and I send them to my kids, hey, kids, just want to let you know, either you all come on a family vacation or no one comes. Dad pays for everything. I got kids. I got 14 different grandkids now and stuff. We all come, and look what we're doing. You're boring. I'm texting them 50 feet from touching Syria. I'm going, this is what we're doing. Why aren't you here with us? Why aren't you participating in it? So that's how I use social media. I use it like it should be taunted. You should be taunted. All right. And we go for that. But here's something else I want you to get. You have to get this on Amazon.com, Christian Response to Mental Illness, by Martin Dijabobgan. Basically, how you order it, it gets printed up. I guess that's the way the new things are done now. They don't print books up anymore. They're on-demand printing, which is pretty cool. So you go to Amazon.com. But as we get started with 2 Timothy, I want you to underline some things, and I'll help you because I got some tools here on my iPad here to help you underline some things. Underline all the things as we go through 2 Timothy that you physically have to be there to do. I mean, this is biblical information there, but why don't we go through 2 Timothy, just kind of highlight, make this your study, like, could this be done any other way? And then in my devotions this morning with Oswald Chambers, I do it online. Now, there wouldn't be a Chiquella's household without a devotional in the bathroom, but I do it online. And there's these things now from Oswald Chambers, from various parts of his writing there, but I like this. We must keep to endeavor to, again, to do what? To keep ourselves in touch with each other. Again, this is almost 100 years ago that he wrote this. That he tells us here that we must keep ourselves in touch, not with theories, but with people, and never get out of touch with human beings if we are going to use the Word of God skillfully amongst them. A workman of God, and it gives you the page number there of Oswald Chambers. This is 100 years ago. Do you realize with technology in the last century, in the last 100 years, up to the last century there, everything that had been completed in the first 19 centuries was all accomplished in 100 years. The Bible prophecy tells us in the end times that much knowledge will increase. People will be going to and fro. I mean, it's going to be exponentially faster. And then in this next 100 years, well, let's just look in the last 20 years of this 21st century, of where technology has brought us. Yes, I'm still upset. I'm supposed to have my jetpack right now. We're supposed to be floating around on jetpacks. But we look at all the realities that are coming. Driverless cars? Well, if you haven't been to Florida, you'll see what I mean. But no, there's driverless cars here. And all this technology that's coming and just the fulfillment of Scripture. But here's the thing. All the technology I see happening, and again, well before that we have the smartphones and devices and I saw electronics coming in. And remember, my big thing is like, guys, I was there with Pong. Well, I remember when that revolutionized TV and how we got mesmerized for that. And the only other video games I ever played were Asteroids and Centipede. That was about it. And to see how all this video games and arcades have just come in and now they steal the attention. And they are attention grabbers. And just where the technology is. And what do we do? So this is 100 years ago. What technology was there 100 years ago? They had live theater, silent movies, the automobile just started to get going. They started flying. I mean, there was very limited in the ways of technology, and yet Oswald Chambers is talking about the things that could distract people, that we must not lose the ability to be in touch with one another. So as we go through 2 Timothy, I know all the things that you just need to be in touch with. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Make no mistake there that eternal life is in the Son, and the Son is life. That it's in Christ Jesus, and there's none other. Some of those, you noticed the difference when we were in Jordan for 4 days. There seemed to be a little bit of oppression going on. And as soon as we crossed over the border from Jordan into Eilat, there seemed to be a heaviness lifted. It's because in Jordan, they're worshiping a false god, the majority of them, Allah. And Allah is not God in Arabic. Allah is not the God of the Bible. And so, but yet, when we're in Israel, at least there are those who are worshiping the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or they at least acknowledge him, you notice that there was something. And I never made the mention, didn't tell that to anybody. And they could just kind of sense that was going on. And why I did it this time, of why I wanted to go in to Amman first, because when we've gone into Israel first and then we've crossed over into Jordan for either a day trip to Petra or we spent a few days there, it was even more oppressive. And there was a lot of problems going on because you left light and went into darkness. So we just started off in darkness. We just already started off, you know, with a horrible plane ride and all kinds of things going on. And just, we got there and people were prayed up. And that's why I make sure on our Israel tours that you have a prayer partner. I'm thankful for those who prayed for me because I can sense it. And you have to have a prayer partner before you go to Israel. And then you can only have one prayer partner praying for you. And they can't be praying for several people on the tour. Just one dedicated person who's going to pray for you the whole time through there. And hopefully you have that. And for those who've either lied or never really cared or just filled out the paperwork that they had a prayer partner, again, being the kind and compassionate person that I am, I said, you probably don't have you. Is your prayer partner praying for you? Because you're looking like you're having a miserable time. I mean, here we are in Israel where the Bible is being written. Here we are experiencing where Jesus walked and you're just sucking lemons, man. Is your prayer? I would get on your prayer partner and, well, I really don't know my prayer partner. I just filled out that paperwork and I picked somebody and it really doesn't matter. I said, well, now you are seeing the reason why you need to have a prayer partner and need to have someone praying for you and interceding for you. You know, even during the service, I have the choir loft, I guess that's what they call it back there. You know, I have my grafted in son there, Lauren Ross. He prays for me, but that's what we have that loft up there for, is that if you would go and pray during the service, be praying for me, be praying for the technology, praying for everything that's going on here, be praying things. We need prayer. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. There's no other name. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be, not can be, but must be saved. You get that in Acts chapter 4. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Timothy, my son, this is a kid that he's seen raised up in ministry and he's been profitable to him. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Apostle Paul is your prayer partner. Paul the apostle is praying for you. That's who you want. You don't want me praying for you. I only remember if I remember, Kimberly's the one you want praying for you. If you want a prayer partner, you get Kimberly praying for you. She's really, usually when I'm praying for somebody or I remember to pray for somebody, I usually just call them up and go, why's God me, what guy? This is how God works in my life. Why am I praying for you? You having problems? You having problems? No, everything's good. No, this doesn't work because I haven't thought about you in a while and I'm praying for you right now. So what's going on? I just know how God works in my life. No, nothing's going on. You're a liar. Okay. Don't make me come over there. Right now, we can use technology with a phone, but if I physically got to come over there, I'll lay hands on you three ways, hard, fast, and continuously. All right? Now tell me what's going on. Let's pray. And all right, this is what's going on. But to have someone praying for you. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. If you're not getting together regularly with people for prayer, or you don't have people regularly praying for you and you're regularly praying for others, get on it. Get on it. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. To have that faith, that's all I've ever desired for my kids, my grandkids, for my spiritual kids here at Calvary Chapel St. Paul, that you would have a walk with God equal or better than mine, but never less than mine. I want to get you to where I am, and hopefully I can get you past to where you can get past that. But to have a walk equal or better than mine. And if I want you to have a better walk, then I need to make sure my walk continues to grow. And look, his grandmother. Paul didn't lead him to the Lord, but Paul, who's who God used to bring him up and raise him up in ministry, and that you know and you have the scripture. And if you've got a believing grandma who's praying for you, give up. That's what I tell people. Just give up. I go, do you got a grandma? Does she know the Lord? Is she praying for you? Just give up. What do you, why are you just, they've got a direct hotline to God. Now, we might be in Jerusalem, and we're praying for you, and we call that a local call, because it's right there. But you got a grandma praying for you? Just give up, man. Get a grandma praying for you. Wherefore, I put in remembrance of you that stir up in the gift. Look at verse 6. Now, if you're going to underline something, look what physically needed to happen. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. That anointing, that time of getting together. Remember, Acts chapter 13, where they're getting together and they're in prayer. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them and says, set apart Barnabas and Saul. Saul wasn't even Paul the Apostle yet. Saul of Tarsus, Barnabas was the lead guy. Set aside Barnabas and Saul for the work of the ministry. And that came out in that prayer meeting. That's what I ask people. When you get together for prayer, are you just praying, gimme, 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 gimme? Well, get that out of the way. But is God speaking to you? Is God showing you things to act and to move upon? You know, this conference we were just at, and it's, you know, every year and we go there, and I just go there in expectation. God, just speak to me. What do you have for me? And he had some things for me. And I want to go there. Because, man, I gave out everything I had, man. I gave it out. For those of you on that Israel tour, I gave out everything I had on that tour. And I showed up and I gave it all out because I knew I was going to show up to Omaha to this conference. I was going to end up on fumes, man. And I ended up on fumes. And I just got there and I said, I'm just empty, man. I just fill me, Lord. Just show me what you have. And here, by that putting on of the hands and just to be reminded, and I was reminded about the gifts that God has given me. I had to physically be there. There's others who said, are you going to broadcast this, you know, on your radio show? We did that one year. I said, no. Are they going to live stream this? No, they're not going to live stream. This is just one of those things you have just got to be there for. Why? Because we have a time of afterglow. We have a time of waiting on the Lord. We have a time of just the Holy Ghost meeting time, man. Those are the Holy Ghost stories I like. And you just have to be there. No amount of pictures or Facebook or posting or Instagrams or anything will even come close to even whetting your appetite for what you're missing out on. You just have to be there. And so, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's why I encourage you to get that book, The Christian Response to Mental Illness. Before you try to take me to task, before you try to tell me all the kinds of things, just read that book for us and let's have a starting point of if you think there is a thing called mental illness. And it says here, but that God has called us to have what He's given us, hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Wait a minute. I'm a cowardly lion. I have a lot of fear. Well, then you're in sin. What are you fearful of? I got no power. I lack this love and I have no sound mind. Let me tell you the effects of God's word, and praise God for this technology. Last year I spoke at the conference, gave it all out there, and there was a sister there who literally, whatever was going on in her body, what the world was telling her, the drugs that she was on, she just finally got off and she literally thought she was losing her mind. I said, you probably were. You were all doped up. All doped up. And I said, God's word tells us He's given you not a spirit of fear, but one of love and of power and of a sound mind. Do you want a sound mind? Do you want off all this stuff? Do you want all these? She said, then this is what you do. And I just gave her a prescription, God's word. Just that's the only thing you need to read. Saw her at the conference this year. She had to come up and she says, Pastor Jack, I just want to let you know I'm a lot better now. All I did is that I listened to my pastor, because she goes to church there, Pastor Steve, and I listened to you every night. I say, you trying to get some sleep? No, I listen to you and through our technology here, and I just read the word of God, and that's all I did this year. Is I just listen to my pastor and I physically come to church. Said, there couldn't have happened any other way. I've got to come to church and literally tell people, I think half my face is gone. Is half my face gone? No, half your face is not gone. Okay, I don't believe you, but it feels like it's gone. I mean, just to literally, you have to go to church. And she just continued to go to church and go to church and go to church, listen to me, listen to Pastor Steve, and just read the Word of God. And man, she's in her right mind to this day. And just it is the Word of God that brings healing. And I know this personally in my own life. I barely had a third grade education. I started doing drugs when I was 8, and my education quit around the third grade. And so when I got saved, I just wanted to read the Bible, and I just got a paraphrased Bible. It's about all I could do. And I just read God's Word for a year. And within a year, man, I was up to different translations, and I was able to read. I was able to read. I didn't even know how it happened. I just was just reading every day, every day. And then when they would volunteer and say, hey, who wants to read in church? And I would get up there and I would, and I'd be, you know, reading, and the congregation would just be rooting for me. And then sometimes I'd stumble on a word and someone would shout it out, thank you, and just go on. Church is just rooting for me as I got up there, as I publicly want to read God's Word because of the healing that it brings. And that's this church. You know, and so I want to put into remembrance that gift that was on me by the laying on of the hands. But verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You're walking in fear and you need some type of drug to bring your anxiety down? No, there's something else going on there. You have that lack of love? Well, there's something else going on there. Do you have that sound mind? I don't really know that sound. There's something else going on there. All I know is God's Word. I know the world around you. Listen, doctors only have a license to practice. That's it, man. Okay. They just want to diagnose and treat and diagnose and treat. But I know the one sure thing is the sure word of God's prophecy, His Word. I can tell you personally in my life, and I can tell you countless others, if all you have time for is to read God's Word, come to church. You physically need to come here. And you need to say, I think half my face is... I know one brother's pastor, and he thought he tried to commit suicide. He put a gun in his mouth. It didn't go off, but he thought half his head was blown off. And for a year, he'd walked around thinking that half of his head was missing. And he heard this very verse at church. And he says, well, I see what you've done for those people, and I see what you've done for those people. You could do that for me. And he went up and he received prayer, and God healed him. His whole head was there. He said, but this is the way that I'm thinking. It doesn't matter what anyone else will tell me. He started to have a sound mind and became pastor. And look at verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, not of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Not the knowledge of it, not the understanding of the afflictions, but participate in it. It'll tell us that those who seek to live a godly life shall be persecuted. And I like 1 and 2 Timothy. I like when Paul says, don't let anyone despise you and look down upon your youth. Because I remember the first time being 21, 22 years old, teaching and saying, if you're not being persecuted, pastor, for whatever crazy reason, gave me the pulpit. He went on vacation. Said, here you go. And I said, and if you're not being persecuted, then you're probably not walking tight with the Lord. There's something off in your relationship with the Lord. Not that we should go out and just be seeking persecution, but if you're just doing the bare minimum, just the very bare minimum, you're going to get hassled. I had some scholarly, elderly gentleman in the church say that's literally, he almost put his hand on my head and patted me, but this is how I felt. And he goes, oh, that's nice. It's good that the pastor gave you time. And he says, but I just want to let you know, you're young and you're learning, and I understand you're pretty excited. He goes, but listen, I've been a Christian for a lot of years, and I've never been persecuted. Now, the guy made the mistake, big mistake. I just want to let everybody know here, do not make this mistake. If you make this mistake, it's not a mistake. You know exactly what you're doing. But I'm warning everybody. Are you ready? Take your pens out. Do not front me in public. Do not use the group around you to try to put me in my place. Bozo, no, no. Not a good thing to do, because you front me in public, I front you right back, because everyone else is listening. Not trying to be mean. But in front of everybody right after service, really loud. That's nice. It's good that the pastor lets you do this and stuff like that. But let me just tell you and everybody, that's not really how it goes. If you're walking with the Lord, the love of the Lord is with you and stuff. And I said, oh, then you must be a carnal Christian and you must not be walking tight with the Lord. Because God's word tells me those who seek to live a godly life shall be persecuted. So I don't think you're living a godly life. If you're telling me in front of everybody here. So I'm going to trust God's word. You know what he did when the pastor came back from vacation? He tattled on me. You know what my pastor says? He says, I listened to the tape. What's your problem? What's your point? The pastor had words with him. You know, 6 months later, the guy came back to me. Not in front of the whole congregation. And says, you know, I really irked me what you said. Really just upset me. I said, yeah, I could tell. He says, so I'm going to start, maybe I'm not living a godly life. Maybe he's right. He actually put on a shirt, a Christian t-shirt. They were big in the days back in the 80s. And he put his shirt, and he went into work, and he was a journeyman, a blue-collar laborman, and all his other buddies started laughing because they all thought he was mocking the other Christians on the job. Oh, man, that's so funny. That's so funny. What are you doing, man? That's so funny. He goes, no, I'm a Christian. They all said, what? You are? He goes, yeah, you know I go to church. Well, we all go to church. He goes, no, Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. And he came back to me after that encounter with tears in his eyes, and he goes, I get it, and I'm sorry. And you're right. And he became an evangelist for that verse right there. Those who seek to live a godly life shall be persecuted there. You see, you're going to come to me, or you might challenge me on what I'm saying here about mental illness and all these things. But I know the proof of God's word. I've experienced it for 36 years, and there's plenty of people here with the testimony of it as well. But you come to me with all your pie charts and your graphs, and you try to explain to me, why are you in fear? What are you fearful of? Because perfect love drives out fear. Why are you not receiving the perfect love of Father? Now you're going to need to practice that, and you need to be in with other believers, and we're going to need to reassure you, and we're going to need to help you with that. But you're only going to get that by doing what? By being a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Do you see some things that you physically need to be there to participate in these things? Verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I'm sure glad he chose me before the world began, because after I was born, I did a lot of bad things. And so here, according to his good purposes and his plans, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What? Here's the thing with this sister meeting me at the conference just a few days ago and telling me this, because I really got on her. I think I'm going to die. Well, praise God. Then you go to heaven and all your pathetic life as a Christian's over with, and now you get to be with Jesus. You got Jesus, your Savior, Lord, right? Yeah. Oh, great. I think I'm going to die. I'm thinking, awesome. You know, Jesus beat death. There's nothing to fear in death. None whatsoever. Now, listen, I'm a private pilot. I fly. I'm a flight instructor now, and I'm teaching others to fly. And rule number one is the student is there to kill you. Rule number two, don't let the student kill you. All right. I mean, I got that. I mean, I'm not trying to live a reckless life there. But my prayer, every prayer when I go up and say, Lord, either way this plane lands, I know I will be home. I'm going to be home with you. Or I'm going to be home with my wife. But sooner or later, I'm going to be with you, Jesus. I look forward to that because he's beaten death. What really is there in fear? Is there a project at work you need to finish? Did you forget to do so? Is there something that you're straining on that you just need more time with? Oh, I really messed up my time with my kids. All right, God loves them more than than you do. Then hopefully God will take care of those things. But use whatever time you have left. Listen, I've been around, and I know the people who get religion or who get serious with their walk with the Lord. When God says, hey, your ticket's been punched, you got 5 months to live. One guy that I knew for years, he came to me and says, Chick, I went to the doctor. He says, I have 6 months to live. He goes, really? Wow. He goes, yeah, that's if I would have gone in 5 months ago. I got a month left. And going to his funeral, and just a wonderful Christian man, good father, and stuff like that. But I hang around, and everyone that this guy knew for years said, he got religion at the end of his life. He got serious. He really told him about immortality and really evangelized him. It didn't do his whole Christian life experience. And that's what it's like. The same way when I see guys come to know the Lord in prison. Hey, can you write a letter to the judge and probation officer for me? No, you're in jail. You're a prisoner. You're a convict. Do your time. Now, when you get out, let's see what happens. Because you can follow the Lord here. It's easy. He's like, but let's see what happens when you get out. Is that commitment? Let's see what happens when you leave. Is this a 50-50 message for you today? 50 feet or 50 minutes, whichever comes first, it's gone. It's just over with. And so here, before the world began, in Christ Jesus, these things, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality and life through the gospel. Listen, someone threatens your life, say, praise the Lord. Do it right. What power does death have over a person? It should be, the thing is that if I ever get told, I don't think it's going to happen, but if I ever get told, you got a terminal disease, whatever, I'm just not going to show up. And after a couple of weeks and you get tired of Jim preaching messages, where's Chick? Oh, he went home to be with the Lord. Not going to be a big whole thing. This isn't like, I've got a month to live, so now I'm just going to do all the things on my bucket list I didn't have time to do, and bye-bye congregation. I want to be like one of the greatest examples I've ever seen is Pastor Chuck Smith. I still occasionally go and I look at his last message on Sunday night at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. This is 6 years ago. I think it was October 2nd or October 3rd, 6 years ago this October, and he gave his message. And then Monday, he had a board meeting with his board, and then had time of dinner. And then later that night, by Tuesday, he was in the presence of the Lord. But there is his last message with oxygen granules around his nose. He's sitting down and he's given the word of God. And he just continued on. And I know his family and I'm friends with his family and his brother Paul. And says, listen, he really believed that he was going up in the rapture. He had no funeral plans whatsoever. Pastor Chuck had no funeral plot. He had no plans. There was no list. What do I do? He says he believed he was going up in the rapture. They had to find some. Do we cremate? Do we not cremate? What do we do here? That's how I'm going to go out. It's just that if it just happens, I'm just going to, what really would be changing in my life if I was told, listen, every one of us has a death sentence. As soon as you are born, you're going to die. Or hopefully we'll take up on the rapture. We moved into a house. This is our dream house. Kimmy says, tell everyone it's our dream house. It's our dream house. She got to do whatever she wanted with the bathrooms and stuff. It's my dream house because it's my last house. That's how I look at this house. She goes, quit telling people it's the last house. She's not here. She's listening online. Quit telling people it's our last house. It's rapture or the corner, but I'm not doing this again. So this is my dream house. Whatever happens, we're there. We're not selling. It's all set up for grandkids to come. Whatever. That's it, man. Wherefore, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Again, that preacher, preaching to the lost, and that's what Paul did. Teaching is for the Christians. And so again, an apostle. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We'll finish here with about hold fast. Listen, hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me and in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That hold fast. You hang on for dear life. It's like my premarital counseling. Hey, guy, you found a woman that wants to hug and hold on to that mug of yours. You hang on for dear life. You don't question her judgment because she picked you. That's my premarital counseling. You hold on. You hold fast. This word is echo. It's where we get the word echo from. It's in the Greek. 92 times it's used just alone in the book of Revelation. But he says, I hold on to the keys of sin and death. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's where we get that word echo from. Hold on to. You hold fast. You dare life. You're just hanging on to that. And so he tells him those form of words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest that they which are in Asia be turned away from me, whom are Phil and Hermie. These two guys right there. Listen, he names the names. He says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesimus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. They're saying, Paul's in prison. That's a bad testimony. Do you see how things flipped around just even in Paul's time? We're talking 50, 60 years. Within the first 50 years of Christ's death and resurrection, the Apostle Paul coming to faith. And now there's many other Christians, and now they're saying what a good testimony is. If Paul had such a good testimony, he wouldn't be put in prison. You know, he's loud, he's obnoxious, he's boisterous. You know, it's by his own hand that these things happen. These things are being said for him. And people are separating themselves and getting away. He says, he looks at this one, bro, who goes and he finds him. He goes from prison to prison and he found him. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Lord, grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. Thou knowest very well. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is what we're committed to doing. This is why I've taken an example from three times a year. There's seven feasts. Oliver Sims is going to teach you through the feasts on October 3rd, this Thursday coming up. But three of the feasts, if you were anywhere near Jerusalem, you were in Israel and you could get to Jerusalem three times a year, you were supposed to make it to Jerusalem for these feasts. And these feasts were all about having supper with God, to have that communion. You get together and you eat with somebody. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice, it opens the door to him and I'll come in and have, and what? Din-din, right? I'll come in and sup with him. I'm going to come break bread with you. I'm going to have fellowship with you. So you were three times a year. If you could make it, if you could be there, you were to get them together and have a fellowship meal with the Lord. Taking folks to Shiloh, the original meeting place of God for 369 years. And people are still picking up pottery shards. Because you're all supposed to see the sacrifice and you're supposed to see the that goes on there. And all around these hillsides, you could see the hills when the sun shines on them, it kind of glistens and it looks like clay, but the clay's not indigenous to that area. And you can see where it just all comes down to almost a certain line all the way around, because at one time, everyone, the whole congregation was supposed to see the sacrifice happen. And you were to eat this meal and those dishes were then to be broken. They made them out of clay. They were to be broken and never to be used again. And there's people still going and picking up pottery shards of a time of 369 years, of a minimum of three meals a year of broken pottery shards right there. And there's still a connection to your faith. There's still something you can hold on to. People were meeting with God to have fellowship with him. It wasn't meet with God a minimum of three times a year so he could whoop you. It's just come in fellowship. So what do I do? I've been endeavoring this. No one ever really taught me this. I just kind of read it in God's word. So I've endeavored three times a year to go to a conference somewhere. Three times a year. Go somewhere. The one I watched online doesn't count. That's already a given. But that's why I go and I make it our church retreat. And some of you have taken that as well. And you go to Omaha with us. I try to make it an endeavor. I try to hit a pastor's conference once a year. I try to go to three conferences. Every year I plan them, which three I'm going to go to. And I want to make sure, and then they're spread out throughout the year. So because when I show up there, sometimes I just show up on fumes. Sometimes I've just cruised into the filling station there. Sometimes I got some friends and we're pushing the vehicle together to get there together. But I'm getting there. I'm endeavoring to make sure that I'm keeping and remaining in that place and that love of God. So I can do this. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You've got to physically participate in not just the knowledge. When you look in 1 and 2 Peter about adding to your knowledge faith, there's things that you physically need to do. And these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We're only one generation away from extinction as Christians. We need to pass this on. And maybe you're a mama, you're a papa, you're a grandpa, grandma, whatever, and you pass these on to your kids. And I don't want my kids to take that which I had a relationship with and they turn it into a religion. Well, we just go to church. Hearing Pastor Greg Young talk about how he was raised in a church at the conference just a few days ago or yesterday, how he was just raised in a church and he did church and he had a religion. He had those things, but he never was ever taught the Word of God. That we should be able to, again, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Not just man, gender-wise, but mankind. You and I have that responsibility. You and I have that goal. You and I have that privilege. But we physically need to be there and do it. It took everything. Kimberly's looking at me. She says, you're not going to go to church? I mean, she was sick, but you're not going to go? No, I'm going to see what's the appeal. And I'll tell you the appeal that it's the exact same revelation I had in 1981, the same revelation I had when I turned 18 years old and I got arrested for the first time as an adult, plenty of times as a juvenile, in and out of juvenile hall, no problem. And as they were handcuffing me and I knew I was going to go to jail for the first time as an adult, and I end up in jail and I'm like, why do my older brothers and sisters like it here so much? Because they must, because they keep coming back. One family member, every 6 months, would get his same job back in the kitchen. And so he'd just, do time in here. And I would visit him. And I'm like, bro, if you get used to this, there's nothing that's going to stop you. You're going to go from county. You're going to go to state. I mean, so there I am. And I'm watching all the things happen, chunking up with the Facebook or the Bible radio and just all the technology and stuff. And say, that's got to be frustrating. And I had the same thought. Why would people want to sit here in your pajamas and, sipping your coffee and you're all comfortable when all the prayer and all the action and all the stuff, praise God for technology that at least this information gets out there. But for those of you listening online, you got to go get together with other people. You got to practice these things because this knowledge can just puff up and puff up and puff up, but you need to go out and live it. You need to put your hands on one another. And to be praying for one another. And you need to be talking to that person that says, half your face isn't missing. I'm sorry, you're okay here. And let's go back to the Word of God. And someone comes back, you really must be tired of me coming back to you all the time. No, I'm not. Because that's what someone did for me. And when we have opportunities to read publicly as we go through certain sections of Scripture and you are chunking it up, that we as a church would be rooting you on and saying, that's the word. If you know how to pronounce Phil and Jaime's name, you let me know later. I practice. But you keep going at it. But we have to physically participate with that. Again, I would encourage you to get this book, Christian Response to Mental Illness. Read that book. It's a quick read. But let me end again with this. That we must keep ourselves in touch not with theories, but with people, and never get out of touch with human beings if we are going to use the Word of God skillfully amongst them. Going to church does not make me a Christian, just like going to McDonald's won't make me a cheeseburger, will it? Christians go to church, and we get to participate in this. And we get to upset one another, and we get to work out one of the things with one another. We get to do those things. For those of you who were on the Israel tour, you knew what happened about day 8. day 8 comes out and I just get everyone on the bus and say, now look, we've got 8 more days. Tour 2 is going to start. It's actually 2 tours in 1. We're getting ready to now. We had our little our cards, our little itinerary. Now flip it over and we're getting ready to start the next day. Now look, get it through your hearts and minds. We're going to be on this bus with everyone for another 8 days. Work through it. You can't be the false humility. You can't pretend. You can't hide from one another. You're going to see each other for the next 8 days. So whatever you're pretending to do, just get rid of it. And everyone in the bus just goes, oh. Someone says, I can't believe he said that. And everyone just kind of looks around and is like, yeah, we're just going to have to deal with one another. You're touring for 18 days with people. It's usually halfway through, people put up with one another for so long. And after all, like, yeah, we're just here. And man, wasn't tour 2 amazing? Wasn't the second tour when everyone just finally just started getting along with one another and like, let's go out, and people just started hanging out with one another, and it was great. Well, welcome to church, folks. You might only see each other once a week, but you know what? Show up. Let's work through it. Let's talk to one another. Lauren Ross. Praise the Lord. My prayer is that you've been blessed with this Sunday morning live broadcast. Remember, you can tune in each Sunday morning at 10:40 a.m. Central Standard Time or to our Thursday night live broadcast, which is at 7:35 p.m. each Thursday night as well. So that's Sundays at 10:40 a.m. and Thursday nights at 7:35 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can also listen to the Chick Chickellis Hour. That's with me live Wednesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Our Sunday morning live, our Thursday night live, the Chick Chickellis Hour is all rebroadcast throughout the week. The information is on our webpage that you can check that out as well. Also, on Saturdays from 3 to 4 p.m.